You are Locked On Angels, your daily Los Angeles Angels podcast. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Hey, everybody, welcome to Locked On Angels, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day. And hey, thanks for making Locked On Angels your first listen of the day every single day. You can shoot me a follow on Twitter at Steve Granato and, of course, at Locked On Angels. Coming up on today's show, we're grading the season. Finally, our new segment, off-season segment, is here. We begin our new series of handing out grades to the Angels for their 2021 fan experiences. And then we're going to chat about tonight's NL wildcard game and see who the Angels have a connection with and Southern California has a connection with on the Cardinals and Dodgers. So that's coming up here a little bit later. But before we get to everything here, this episode is brought to you by Spotify Green Room. Download the Spotify Green Room app and find one of our Locked On rooms. All right, let's go ahead and start. Let's go with our first of the grading the season series. Again, in case you missed yesterday's episode, we are grading the season here for all the fan experiences. We're talking watching the game, listening to the game, going to the ballpark, all that stuff. We're going to talk about all that. We're going to start that series here today and then have our second installment this coming Friday. So let's start here handing out grades for the Angel Stadium experience. What was it like going to Angel Stadium in 2021? And remember, this all is with the pandemic and masking and distancing that lasted for a good chunk of the year. You know, I was still going to the ballpark and wearing my mask and all that good stuff. So there are differences, but let's talk about it overall. I'm not going to knock it for that, obviously. That's not what we're here to do. We're going to talk about what they were able to do for us, the fans, when we get to the ballpark. Was it a good experience? Okay, so let's start this. Let's talk all the way from the beginning to the end of what it would be like going to an Angels game on a typical day. So let's start with getting to the game or taking a ride share, driving, transit, whatever the situation is. I feel like getting to Angel Stadium is always fairly simple. Take the 57, take the 5, whatever, float your boat, however you get there, wherever you're coming from. It's always pretty simple. You know you're close. The Big A is a pretty good landmarker, especially if you're a fan that's never been there before. It's pretty hard to miss. I know Kansas City's Kauffman Stadium is pretty hard to miss, or pretty easy to miss, rather. I actually did drive right by it. I was driving in that area, and I went to go visit the ballpark on an off day, and I completely missed the ballpark. So as far as seeing the ballpark, easy to get to. That hasn't changed. Rideshare can be a bit of a mess if you're taking Uber, Lyft, or whatever you're taking. It can kind of be a mess as far as dropping you off, especially if you're going on like Orangewood near Golden Road and stuff. It can kind of be a mess getting to the ballpark itself, but you know, I wish they would have a designated spot for rideshares as far as dropping people off. For me, I don't typically drive to the game anymore because I live so close. I actually walk to the ballpark. But Catella is when I have driven, like going in on Catella near Honda Center on that entrance over there on the other side of the 57, that's usually the easiest entrance for me. I always like doing that one. And as far as like by comparison to other ballparks, like getting into Petco is kind of a pain. There's no real parking areas. You have to go to like city lots, and those are always full. You have to drive all over the place. I went to a Padres game early in the year. I missed first two innings because of the nightmare it was trying to get into the ballpark. And then I went to a Dodgers Angels game this past summer too. And I mean, how many times have we talked about, has everyone talked about how much of a mess it is to get into Dodger Stadium? So as far as getting into Angel Stadium, I'm giving it an A-. I think it's pretty good. I think they could fix up the ride share situation a little bit more. As far as parking goes, pretty simple. I'm giving parking an A. $10 for general, $20 for preferred, and then there's a bunch of like $5 and $10 lots around the ballpark off Catella and stuff. There's plenty of ways to park at Angel Stadium. I never have a problem getting in and parking at Angel Stadium. The attendants have always been nice, and they move you along quickly. It usually doesn't take too long. So parking, straight up, no problems. Give it an A. All right, now getting into the ballpark, entering the ballpark itself. So if you've parked, you've walked in, you got dropped off by your Lyft, how is it like getting into the ballpark? I'm giving it an A. I think there's no problems. I think this does come with a bit of a caveat because there were less fans showing up this year, even, you know, considering how the product on the field was, which we are not grading in this series. But I give it an A. I usually go to the left field gate or the home plate gate, and there's usually no problems. There isn't no problems with security. It's usually fairly simple. You know, they check your bag if you have a bag. But getting into the ballpark, you know, the ballpark app works. tickets are right there. Every spot usually has at least one ticket booth open every entrance. So, you know, there's will call there. There's no problem. I never have had a single problem getting into Angel Stadium as far as, like, if I got there early enough. You know, if I showed up late, then they stopped for, like, the National Anthem or something. That did happen earlier this year where I was outside for the National Anthem, but that was more on me. So, straight up, give it an A. Entering the ballpark, fairly simple. Okay, here's where things get fishy for me. Pre-game ceremonies, I'm giving this a C-. I think getting into your seat and, you know, getting ready for the game first, you know, 15 minutes before first pitch, I think it's not great. Let's talk about calling all Angels. Okay, they've been doing this for how long now? And I think this is where I get with pregame. It's like the exact same that it was 20 years ago. It has not changed. Calling all Angels, obviously the song, I think it would be weird if they didn't play it at this point, but the video I think has gotten too long. It's like over 5 minutes now. It's almost like 6 minutes long, and they're going to add to it for next year because of Shohei and what he was able to do. And when he wins, you know, MVP, that'll be added into there. So that thing's going to be, you know, rearing on six, maybe six plus minutes. And I don't know, man. How do you feel about calling all Angels? I'm pretty tired of it, honestly. I'm going to be totally honest with you. It doesn't do anything for me anymore. I know it by heart at this point. So, I don't know. I'm pretty over calling all Angels. I wish they would try and do something new. They get the lineups. The Angels run onto the field kind of randomly sometimes. You know, it doesn't feel like there's like this big pomp and circumstance when they run onto the field. It's like they just go, welcome your Los Angeles Angels. And they kind of just run onto the field. There's nothing really to it. I wish there was a little bit more here when the Angels actually take the field. It's not very exciting. It's just like, all right, here we go. So I'm giving it a C-, mostly because calling all Angels and the pregame videos and stuff. Yes, they, you know, change the video every year, but they just add to calling all Angels. They have a new hype video. I don't know. I wish they would do more. Let me know how you feel about it on Twitter. Coming up after this quick break, we're going to go ahead and take a look at a little bit more here on the Angel Stadium experience. But first, this episode is brought to you by Green Room. Green Room is the first social audio platform made for sports fans. The app is free to download, and once you're in, you can talk with Locked On hosts, other fans, athletes, and insiders in real time about your favorite team or sport. You'll find fans just like you on Green Room watch parties, debates, post-game breakdowns, and of course, reacting to big news or rumors. I'll be joining the app soon. That's my plan. So be sure to get started, and I'll meet you over there here soon. Go download the free Green Room app now, currently available on all iOS devices. Be sure to create a profile, link your Twitter, and join the MLB group for the latest league updates. I know you'll find a ton of incredible rooms around your favorite teams and leagues. I can't wait to join you. I'll be sure to let you know once the Locked On Angels room is live. Download the Green Room app today. Green Room, changing the way we talk sports. We're back and better than ever. All eyes are on the gridiron as teams are back on to start another football season. As always, BetOnline is your number one spot for all the pro and college football action this season. With a new updated site and interface, even more odds, props, and contests, BetOnline.ag continues to be the number one source for everything football. Head to the website or use your mobile device to sign up today to receive your 100% welcome bonus. That's double your initial deposit just for signing up. Don't forget to use the promo code NFL100. From football, basketball, boxing, right to your favorite Vegas casino games, don't wait to take advantage of all the amazing offers available for the 2021 season. Bet online, the fastest and easiest way to bet all your favorite sports, and use promo code LOCKEDON. Okay, in game. This is another sticking point for me. Michael Rahu has been there since 2014. He's doing great. I think there's no problem with our PA address announcer. He's doing great. I have no problem with him whatsoever. I think he's totally fine. You know, it was tough to replace David Courtney because he had been there for so long, but it's been since 2014 that he's been there, and it just feels like a part of the ballpark now. So Mike's doing great. I have no problem with that. But as far as in-game, while the game is going on, I remember I went to a game on a Sunday in, I think it was July, and the first, like, inning, the whole first inning, there wasn't like a single clap or chant or "we will rock you" or anything. There was like nothing played for the entire first like half inning, maybe even all the way into the bottom of the first before the walk-up song started being played. So in game, there needs to be drastic improvements. We don't have an organ player. We don't have like signature sounds. All our sounds are pretty generic, right? Like it's kind of just the Law and Order strikeout thing, and like there's just not really anything going on. There's no in-game like games. We're not talking to fans. We don't even have like an in-stadium host. The Dodgers do that really well. They have an in-game host that's a lot of fun, and they do games with fans and t-shirt tosses and stuff. You know, the Angel Strike Force, I feel, is kind of just there. I don't know. I feel like there's a lot of revamping that could be done here. Obviously, we have no mascot, so there's no shenanigans in that regard. I don't know. It's pretty lackluster, especially if you're someone like me who goes to a lot of minor league baseball. This is pretty boring. I'm not going to lie. It's pretty boring. I wish there was more in-game. I'm giving in-game a C grade. So in case you want to check up on this again, so getting to the game is an A-. Parking is an A. Entering the ballpark is an A. Pre-game is a C-. In-game is a C. I give it a C because it's generic. It's very generic. There's not much. There's not like the signature thing. You're like, you're in an Angels game. This is happening. I want to talk about this too, and I really want to get your opinion. I have some hot takes on this one. The Rally Monkey. So next year, the Rally Monkey is turning 20 years old. 20 years old. For me, I am sick and tired of the Rally Monkey. Sorry. If you love the Rally Monkey, hey man, more power to you. But I am so tired of it. It's not fun. It's not exciting. It at this point feels like just a cash grab merchandise thing. It's honestly, it's lame. It's super lame. And I'm so sick of the Rally Monkey. I want them to get rid of it. It doesn't start rallies anymore. It's so old. Most fans that are at the ballpark, like, don't even know where it came from. Don't even know that it started in 02. Don't even know the history behind it. It's just a thing. And it makes no sense. And it feels like they're really just selling Rally Monkeys. That's all it feels like. And I don't think they're going to get rid of it anytime soon, but I hate it. I honestly do. I'm so sick of the Rally Monkey. Get rid of it. It's dumb. I know. I told you I had hot takes on the Rally Monkey, but there you go. Rally Monkey, get out of here. And then as far as the hype videos, they're fine. I have no problem with the hype videos. I think they're getting better. I think our production staff is doing a lot better, especially with the new video boards and stuff. They're doing a better job there. And as far as like in-game information, that's also where I kind of give this a C because it's just, I don't know. I feel like it's hard for me to find the info that I want. They do a good job of showing who's in the bullpen over the left field video board. But I always feel like I'm having a hard time finding where the count is located at the ballpark. I'm always kind of having a hard time like locating where pitch speed is. And like, I know where they are. And like in my head, I'm thinking about where they are right now, especially in relation to where I would be sitting. But like at the same time, I'm always like, it doesn't feel like it's in the spots that I want it to be. And like pitch type is, I think, only... No, I think it's on both video boards. But like the pitch type, I would like to be put like around the, you know, like the concourse, not the concourse, but like the little, you know, the little strips around the ballpark, those little video boards. I wish that they would put pitch type on there too, especially if you're sitting out in like right field or like in, you know, left center or something. It's hard to tell like what pitch is being thrown. So it'd be nice to be able to get that. So overall, a C for in-game. That's kind of the main one. And that's why it lasted so long. Okay, also in-game a little bit, concessions. I know a lot of things were kind of closed, especially with the lower attendance. A lot of the stands were closed, especially for like weekday games. They were closed. Behind home plate, if you can get into that, that's great. I've had it before. I didn't have it this year, but I've had that home plate, you know, that diamond club thing. It's really good. I remember like having really good like brisket and like mashed potatoes and stuff in there. So if you can get down there, it's really good. I know it's expensive, but if you somehow luck into tickets like I have in the past, those are really good. I did have this brisket grilled cheese down the first base line this year. That was pretty good. As far as food is concerned, the food is fine and serviceable. I don't think there's anything that really stands out too much, but I did like that brisket grilled cheese. And I would, if they bring that back next year, I'd be coming back for that because I definitely like that. I know a lot of people like the helmet nachos. For me, it's too expensive. It's like, what, like $30, $25, whatever it is. It's not good. I'm sorry. I'm not into it. I'm not into the helmet nachos. It's a novelty that I'm just not about. As far as beer is concerned, beer and drinks, I know they have wine around the ballpark. I'm not a wine guy. But the beer options are good. St. Archer, you know, that the brewery out in right field, I'm cool with that. I've been in there once or twice, and I like it. It's cool. They have the Golden Road beer. They got Michelob Ultra. They got the Budweiser products. And I think the Micheladas are really good, too. At Dodger Stadium, they're spicier, and I think, you know, for obvious reasons. But the one at Angel Stadium, I think, is pretty good. They're expensive. They're too expensive. Everything's too expensive. That's with this caveat, obviously. But I think the Micheladas are pretty good. And I like the Angel Stadium one. So if I'm there, I usually get one, and I'm into it. I did have a bratwurst this year at one game that was really bad. The bun was, like, stale and was breaking. So, eh. But the hot dogs are standard. You know, they're a standard hot dog. But they're good. And I think it's a serviceable hot dog that's probably, like, the cheapest eat. I think it's, like, $4, which is, you know, expensive for a hot dog. But at the same time, it's not too bad. And, you know, I've gotten 2 hot dogs at a ball game this year. So that's pretty good. So overall, I'm giving concessions a B. All right. That leads me to the last 2 sections here, post-game. And this is the worst. I think this is the worst thing the Angels do, the post-game scenario. I'm giving post-game an F, and here's why. I think they completely fail. Nothing happens. Even if the Angels win, nothing. They play Celebrate by Kool and the Gang and throw on a Rally Monkey video who's, like, dancing. It sucks. It's so boring. There's nothing for fans to, like, grasp onto. There's no chant. There's no song. There's no cheer. There's no ceremony for lighting the halo. We've been saying light up the halo and light that baby up for years and years and years, which that's a whole nother topic about how they just have the halo on at all times now. And, like, that's totally ruined the experience about lighting up the halo. Ugh. But it sucks. I think it totally sucks. We need something. Think about the Pirates. Raise the Jolly Roger. They raise the flag and everyone cheers. Same with the Cubs. They're singing Go Cubs Go and they raise the W flag. Even across the street, while I don't think it's that great of a thing, and I know they're trying to make it a thing, lighting the lamp at Honda Center for the Ducks, at least they're trying there. They light the lamp. They have a bit of a ceremony. It kind of takes a while because they do 3 stars of the game and then they do light the lamp. So it's a bit of a for me. But as far as, you know, overall, it's at least they're trying. The Ducks are at least trying. The Angels aren't even trying. They do a post-game interview typically, right? Especially if the Angels win, they'll go down and do the post-game interview with, like, Jose Mota. In the past, it was Alex Curry. Now it's, like, Jose going down there and doing the interview. And they play it over the speakers. But most people are already leaving, right? I'm already walking out of the ballpark when they go talk to Jared Walsh or whatever. There's really just no incentive to stay down at the ballpark. There just really isn't much of an incentive. So as far as I'm concerned, the Angels need to massively overhaul their post-game ceremonies because there is just nothing keeping fans there. And when you go to the ballpark, you can notice because everyone is leaving the ballpark at this point. And then, so I'm giving that an F. Exiting the ballpark itself, B. I'm just going to give it a B. I think it's fine. The rideshare exit is a total mess, especially on, like, Uber and Lyft. When you look in the app, it doesn't tell you where to meet. There is, like, one designated spot near State College. It's kind of a mess to get out of there, honestly, if you're doing rideshare, and there's just really no policing of it. It needs to be handled better. They're getting better at it. They at least lit up that pole. You know, it's, like, bright red now, so that helps. Especially for drivers. I've been an Uber driver in the past and a Lyft driver in the past, and I've picked people up at Angel Stadium, so definitely nice to have that giant pole. But other than that, it's kind of bland. They need to fix it. They just need to kind of spruce it up a little bit, make it a little more obvious. And then if you get out on State College, they kind of kick you out towards the 5 freeway, so if you're trying to head out of there and go, like, south or whatever to get down towards Orange or whatever, it's kind of a mess to get out on State College. At least on the Catella exit, you can turn right or you can turn left, to my knowledge, if I remember correctly. But yeah, so exiting the ballpark is a B. They just need to kind of clean up the process, streamline it a little bit. But getting out of there doesn't take as long as, again, say, Dodger Stadium. At least in that regard, it's fairly good. They just need to kind of clean up some areas, which is why I'm giving it a B. So overall, what do I give the Angels Stadium experience? And I want to hear your experience. Do you dislike or like this? I'm giving the Angels Stadium experience a B-. There are areas that they need to fix. There are areas that they have opportunities to spruce it up, and they just haven't done it. They have kind of been hitting the same notes for years, and they just need to clean things up and make it more engaging. You go to a ballgame at Angel Stadium, and it kind of feels disengaged. You're just kind of sitting there watching, and especially when the product on the field has not been good, you need to entertain, right? Because this is sports and entertainment. You need to entertain the people who spent a lot of money to get into the ballpark. You know, $45 to get in the ballpark, spend $10 on parking, which is decent. It's pretty good. And then, you know, spend $100 on food and drink. And, you know, you're $200 into the night. You know, can you get an organ player? Can you make something more engaging? Can you get me an in-stadium host? Do something. I think the Angels need to spruce it up. And it's just kind of lackluster at this point. I want more information. I want more entertainment. I want it to be an experience when you go to Angel Stadium. I don't want it to just be any regular old ballpark. That's how it feels right now. Okay, for grading the season next on Friday, we're going to be talking about the broadcast. How was it watching and listening to the Angels in 2021? We're going to talk about the shift on over to Bally Sports, the new play-by-plays, AM 830, YouTube streams, pre- and post-game shows, Angels Weekly, all that stuff. We're going to talk about that on Friday. I want to get your opinion on these things. Give me a call, 714-409-6396. You have until Thursday, so Thursday afternoon. I'll probably be making the episode for Friday. Give me a call. Tell me how you feel about it. How do you feel about watching it on Bally Sports? Did you like the shift? Do you like the new play-by-plays? Do you miss Victor like I do? I miss Victor Rojas, man. And, I mean, we're going to give all the love in the world to Gooby. Gooby is so good this year, and he just keeps getting better. Anyway, give me a call, 714-409-6396. All right, coming up in our final segment, let's see the Angels' connection in tonight's NL wildcard game so you can choose a team to root for. But first, this episode is brought to you by Built Bar. Did you know that Built Bar has a ton of delicious flavors? There is something for everyone. When you talk to a Built Bar fan, they're definitely passionate about their faves. If you don't know the Built Bar flavors, check it out. Coconut, raspberry, salted caramel. I don't know why I said caramel, I say caramel, orange, German chocolate, and a bunch more. That's what Built Bar does. If a bunch of them sound good to you, you can order a mixed box and you can get two of each of the 9 flavors. Pretty cool. Get this, they're healthy too. Check it. 17 to 18 grams of protein, well under 200 calories, only 4 to 5 grams of sugar, and only 4 to 5 grams net carbs. Built Bar is the official protein bar of the U.S. track and field team. They're awesome, so duh. Go to built.com and use promo code LOCKED15 and you'll get 15% off your order. Again, that promo code LOCKED15 for 15% off at built.com. Thanks, Built Bar. All right, in our final segment here today, let's talk about the connection to the Angels here in the wild card game tonight. Cardinals-Dodgers. Okay, Dodgers. We'll start with the Dodgers, the home team. Obviously, the only former Angel on that team is Albert Pujols. And I feel like Angels fans are still sour about how the whole thing went down as far as like his play on the field. For me personally, I liked Albert Pujols. I miss Albert Pujols. And I think that the Angels treated him very poorly on the way out. And he should have never ended his career at Anaheim the way it ended. It was a mess and embarrassing as a fan base. I think that, you know, we should be rooting for Albert Pujols to succeed. It's not like he came here with the intention to fail. None of them ever do. And, you know, all he ever did was good for the city of Anaheim and for communities around it. So I'm totally rooting for Albert Pujols to continue his career past this year and to do well in the postseason. But as far as some Southern California natives that are on this Dodgers roster, how about Joe Kelly, Anaheim kid? Our first Anaheim kid playing in the postseason this year. Joe Kelly, in Anaheim, born, went to Corona High School and then attended UC Riverside. So there you go. Phil Bickford from Ventura played at Oaks Christian and then spent some time at Cal State Fullerton. Justin Turner, Long Beach guy, went to Mayfair High School in Lakewood and, of course, spent his career at Cal State Fullerton. And then another Fullerton guy, didn't play at Cal State, but Austin Barnes is from Fullerton. He played high school ball at Riverside Poly High and then eventually went on to Arizona State. So there you go. There are your Southern California guys you can root for here today. And throughout the postseason, Joe Kelly, Phil Bickford, Justin Turner, and Austin Barnes, all SoCal guys. you know, LAOC guys. Super fun. Joe Kelly, Anaheim. Love it. Okay, here are the Cardinals one. They have no former Angels. The obvious connection we have is with Yadier Molina. The Molina brothers, obviously, very, very involved in Angels baseball history. Jose and Benji, obviously, tons of history there with the Molinas, so you can always root for Yadi. As far as Southern California guys on the Cardinals roster this year, Jack Flaherty, of course, Burbank kid, played out at Harvard Westlake with the Wolverines, a really good program out in Studio City. So Jack Flaherty from Burbank. Lars Nootbaar, one of the best names in all of baseball right now. El Segundo kid, went to El Segundo High School and played his college ball out at USC. Of course, the big one, Nolan Arenado, Newport Beach guy, our second Newport Beach guy in the postseason this year, went to El Toro High School. Tommy Edmond, if you're a San Diego cat, down in San Diego, went to La Jolla Country Day School and eventually went to Stanford. And then the last one, Justin Miller, is from Bakersfield. So there you go. There's your SoCal guys, Jack Flaherty, Lars Nootbaar, Nolan Arenado, Tommy Edmond, and Justin Miller. So if you're looking for someone to root for, I know it's hard as Angels fans to root for the Dodgers, but are you rooting for the Dodgers over the Cardinals or vice versa? Let me know over on Twitter at LockedOnAngels. Interesting. Interesting. I don't know. I'm going to skew Dodgers here. Personally, I like a lot of the guys on that Dodgers roster. I'm going to root for Albert all the way. How cool would it be to see Albert get a ring again? That would be really fun. And, of course, for him to maybe do something in tonight's game against the Cards, his former club. So I'm going to skew Dodgers. I would like to see them move on and have a good run here in the postseason again. I have a lot of friends, just like I'm sure you do, that are Dodgers fans. So for me, go Dodgers. But I want to hear from you. Let me know over on Twitter. All right, that's going to do it for us in today's episode of Locked On Angels. Tomorrow, we're going to talk about some minor league stuff we couldn't get to here today. There was a report in The Athletic, so we're going to talk about that next episode. That's on Thursday. We'll definitely be talking about that. Obviously, don't forget to give us a call and tell us how you felt about the broadcast this year. Valley Sports, AM830, YouTube, pre and post, Angels Weekly, all that stuff. Give me a phone call, and you could be on Friday's show. That's 714-409-6396. That's always in the show notes. Don't forget to listen to my other podcast, Our Game, How the Latin Experience and American Baseball Collide. That's all available right now for free. Anywhere you're listening to podcasts, you can listen to Our Game. That's OURGAME, Our Game. And of course, my other podcast, Movies I Should Have Watched Just Today. New episode dropped today, Wednesday. Ghostbusters. My best friend Alex and I are watching all the movies we were supposed to watch a long time ago, but we're finally getting to them. So Ghostbusters, where we reviewed Ghostbusters, the original one from the 80s, that is out right now. So go listen to that. It's all linked in the show notes. You can follow me on Twitter at Steve Granado, GRANADO, and of course at Locked On Angels. I want to thank you for making Locked On Angels your first listen of the day. Now for your second listen, go listen to Locked On MLB. Paul Francis Sullivan, you can call him Sully, brings you his unique perspective on the major leagues past and present. It's free and available on all platforms. Check it out here for the postseason. All right, that'll do it for us here today. Don't forget to give me a call. We'll talk to you tomorrow with some good stuff. Enjoy the wild card game tonight. Later.